Praise the Lord, they had a big vehicle that they were coming through. All right, well, let's see. Last week, remember we were talking about the HFL. Does anybody remember what the HFL stands for? Not the NFL. Okay, what? Hall of Faith League, right? The Hall of Faith League. And we were talking about God's Hall of Fame and how you get in it. And today we're going to talk about what it costs to get into God's Hall of Fame. But before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as we speak again to the God of the Word? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today to hear a word from you. Please speak through your word. Teach us something new. Convict us. Remind us of what we know and what we need to do about it. Show us Jesus. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior and your Son. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Well, most of you know by now that my name is Christian Becker, right? I can tell people I've been a Christian since the day I was born. Real thing came later when I followed Jesus. But, you know, I meet a lot of people now with that name. And sadly, not everybody with the name Christian represents it well. Sadly. And not everybody who says, I'm a Christian, is a follower of Jesus either. People notice, non-believers say they like Jesus, but his followers, not so much. Christians turn them off, they say. Many Americans even say that Christians can get on their nerves. Interesting. Now, when I heard that, I wondered why. Why is that? And I think maybe I've found a clue. See if this short video helps.
Hello, I'm a Christ follower.
And I'm a Christian.
What you got there?
Oh, just catching up on some reading. Got some rule books, ethics manuals, and a morality player too, just for good measure.
That's a lot of reading.
Yeah, right on top I've got my trusty sword. King James Version, neatly packaged inside this leather bag.
I like the handles.
Oh, they're handy. Do you want to see my bumper sticker collection?
Sure.
I ran out of room on my car.
Wow, those are clever.
Thanks. So what do you wear to display your Christianity?
Well, nothing, I guess. I don't know, I just try to follow Christ in the way I live my life. I don't feel like I have to wear my heart on my sleeve, as it were.
Yeah, I have to wear my heart on my sleeve, as it were.
Are you mocking me?
Are you mocking me?
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
I'm a big dork.
I'm a big dork. Oh.
I don't know if some of you remember the I'm a PC and I'm a Mac commercials years ago. That's kind of a takeoff on that, but very well done. Oh, and, you know, there was an atheist who made a comment on YouTube after seeing this video. The atheist said this, I don't like in-your-face Christians, but the guy on the right is okay. I'd be willing to hang out with him. So now think about this. What's the difference between a Christian and a Christ follower? You might think they're the same, but it's all about how people perceive us. Arguing over Bible versions, keeping rules, holier-than-thou attitudes, mocking people with whom we may disagree, overly concerned about morality and ethics, hypocrites, these are all things that are thrown at Christians. A high school student in one of my classes once told me she thought that Christians were harsh. Interesting. And you know what? If you rub some Christians the wrong way, let's just say what you hear doesn't remind you of Jesus. Someone said, if you kick a bucket, what's inside comes out. Listen, now this might shock some of you, but Jesus never asked anyone to become a Christian. Did you ever think of that? Jesus never asked anyone to become a Christian. He simply asked people to do what? Follow me. He said, follow me. He said to some fishermen one day, he said, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. You've been catching fish, but now you're going to start catching people. people for the kingdom. They didn't know what he was talking about yet. Jesus went on to say, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And people who followed Jesus weren't called Christians at first. You know what they were called? Followers of the way. Followers of the way is what they were called at first. We find the term Christian first in the book of Acts. And the word Christian actually means a little Christ. It was that these people reminded them of what they heard of Jesus. And so they called them a little Christ. Isn't that interesting? It's not a bad word, Christian. It's just been kind of abused, unfortunately. So let me ask you this. Are you truly following Jesus, or do you just call yourself a Christian? A person who is a Christian in name only, we call that a nominal Christian. It means we're Christian in name only. My hope is that if being a Christian for you is just about keeping rules, the way you look, the way you sound, I hope you'll just stop being that kind of Christian. I hope you'll stop being a Christian in name only and that you'll become a true follower of Jesus Christ, a Christ follower. I want to look together with you at Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 to 37. Mark chapter 8, 34, 37. I'm going to be using the New International Version. And I want to invite you, it's a short passage. Let's read it together, okay? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, who is Jesus speaking to here? Is it us? Is it us? Let's admit it. What Jesus said doesn't appeal to modern Americans, do we? Does it? Doesn't appeal to modern Americans. We live in a culture that's sold out to self-satisfaction and self-fulfillment. Would you agree with that? Those are the two big things. They self-satisfy. You need to be satisfied and fulfill yourself. Live your dream, right? Yeah. Fun has become an idol. What's the big question we ask people after they've done anything? Or kids when they come back from their class or something. We say, was it fun? Did you have fun? Think about that. Think about that. For years, the only standard has been, if it feels good, what? Do it. Yeah, it's got to be fun. It has to feel good. It has to feel good. So let me ask you, what kind of follower are you? Who are you following? Who will you following? You know what's interesting? Jesus didn't speak of church members or people that prayed a prayer. He only spoke of people who would follow him. Follow him. And through the scriptures, Jesus is challenging us today to decide, do I want to be a follower of Christ? Do you want to be a follower of Christ? We don't follow a church or a denomination or a pastor. We follow Christ. We follow Christ. And here's why. To call yourself a Christian is cheap, but to follow Jesus costs all that we have. And Jesus was really upfront with that. If you read the parables and the stories where he interacted with people, he told them what it would cost to follow him. And the first challenge that Jesus makes to those who would follow him is in Mark 8:34. The Bible says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said this, if anyone would come after me, first of all, he said he must do what? Deny himself. Deny himself. I'm going to call this a challenge to self-discipline. To self-discipline. You know, Army Sergeant once said, discipline yourself. If you don't, life will do it for you. Discipline yourself. Challenge to self-discipline. Deny himself. What did Jesus mean, deny yourself? Well, self-denial doesn't mean to deny who you are. It doesn't mean to die as a martyr or deny yourself things like a hermit. Rather, it is the denial of self. To stop worshiping at the altar of self-centeredness. To stop living a life that's based only on what you want. And let's face it, when we're born, that's how we live, right? Every little baby is concerned only about one thing. What do I want, you know? Folks, listen to me. Self-centeredness is idolatry. Self-fulfillment is about what I want. Now, you know, we go to Myrtle Beach on vacation. We had the unfortunate circumstance to go last week when the hurricane was coming in. But a couple years ago, in one of the stores, I saw a T-shirt that kind of sums up the modern philosophy. Here's what the T-shirt said. My country, tis of me, 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 me. Wow, isn't that America? Isn't that America? If that doesn't describe it, I don't know what does, folks. Denying yourself doesn't mean giving up something for Lent. It doesn't mean giving up something for life. It is saying no to yourself, to your hopes, your plans, your ambitions, to your preferences, to those nearest and dearest to you sometimes. And it means saying yes to God, saying yes to Him. I decided to follow Jesus when I was in high school, and yes, that is a picture of yours truly. Isn't he a cute kid? When you dated him, ladies, you know. That was my high school, too, on the left there. I decided to follow Jesus when I was in high school. Now, back then, the U.S. space program was in its glory days, and we landed on the moon the year I graduated high school. And they were planning a manned mission to Mars in the early 80s, and I was the right age. I loved math and science. Man, woo, I wanted to be in that space program. I was ready to go. Now, I didn't know that back then a trip to Mars would have been a one-way trip. They didn't tell us that. I was ready to go. But when God called me to ministry, I denied myself that dream, that pursuit. Following Jesus also meant that for many years we didn't live with our relatives. That's a picture of my family in Winona Lake, Indiana, where I went to seminary, Grace Theological Seminary, 40 years ago. It's hard to believe. We were that young once. But we had to move across country. We left our family on the East Coast. But I followed Jesus gladly. Why? Because Jesus' mission is more exciting than any mission to Mars would ever be. Let me tell you. Fishing for Jesus as a fisher of men is the most thrilling thing I had ever done. And I got hooked on that the first time I led a soul to Christ. What about you? What are you willing to deny yourself? Will you? For most Americans, giving up self-fulfillment is more than we want to pay. The problem is we're not sure we want to spend more on God than we can comfortably afford. Listen to how Wilbur Reese put it. He said, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a homeless man or pick beets with a migrant worker. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not the new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. And that's it, isn't it? That's it. We don't want to dump God completely. $3 of him is enough. A sackful, just enough to guarantee my escape from hell, but certainly not enough to change my prejudices or my lifestyle. I mean, after all, enough is enough, right? So let's admit it. We want God in our lives, but not if it means denying ourselves what we want. There was a comic book I read when I was a kid, Richie Rich, the poor little rich boy. You know, the lifestyle of America has really gotten elevated, folks. We have a lot compared to other people. We don't want to deny ourselves what we want. And if self comes before God, we are idolaters. We are worshiping ourselves. Folks, listen, to call yourself a Christian is cheap. To follow Jesus costs all we are. And Jesus challenges us to self-denial, to put aside ourselves and put God first, to make the Lord number one. Folks, people without Christ don't need to hear about my problems and your problems. What do they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. The second challenge Jesus makes to those who would follow him is back in Mark 8:34. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and what? Take up his cross. Take up his cross. I'm going to call this a challenge to self-sacrifice. A challenge to self-sacrifice. Take up his cross. What is this cross-bearing Jesus that you're talking about? What is this? I believe it's a challenge to fully surrender yourself to God. To take up a cross was an appropriate illustration in Roman-occupied Israel. It recalled the sight of a condemned man being forced to carry his cross through the city to his execution. Crucifixion was Rome's preferred method to execute criminals. It was quite a spectacle, as well as you can imagine a deterrent to crime. It was one of the most painful ways to die that man has ever conceived of. In the parallel passage of Luke chapter 9, Jesus adds something. He says, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, if you must take up your cross daily, clearly Jesus must have had something other than physical death in mind. And some of you just went, phew, you know, glad it's not that. We use this phrase often to describe trying times or physical problems we have, don't we? We say, well, that's just my cross to bear. Have you said that? Is that what it means? Well, what does that mean? And I found help in one of my favorite authors. You've maybe heard me mention A.W. Tozer before. A.W. Tozer wrote an article once. He titled it, The Old Cross and the New. The Old Cross and the New. I want to read you a section from it because it's very helpful. He said this, all unannounced and mostly undetected, there has come in modern times a new cross into popular evangelical circles. It is like the old cross, but different. The new cross does not slay the sinner, it redirects him. It gears him into a cleaner and jollier way of living and saves his self-respect. It misses completely the whole meaning of the cross. The old cross is a symbol of death. The man in Roman times who took up his cross had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. He was not going out to have his life redirected. He was going out to have his life ended as he knew it. The race of Adam is under a death sentence. God cannot approve of any of the fruits of sin, however innocent they may appear to the eyes of men. God salvages the individual by liquidating him and then raising him to newness of life. God offers life, but not an improved old life. The life he offers is life out of death. It stands always on the far side of the cross. What does this mean to the individual, the condemned man, who would find life in Christ Jesus? Simply, he must repent and believe. He must forsake his sins and then go on to forsake himself. Let him cover nothing, excuse nothing. Let him not seek to make terms with God, but let him bow his head and acknowledge himself worthy to die. Having done this, let him gaze with simple trust upon the risen Savior. And from him will come life and rebirth and cleansing and power. The cross that ended the earthly life of Jesus now puts an end to the sinner, and the power that raised Christ from the dead now raises him to a new life along with Christ. So to be a disciple of Jesus, you must let old things pass away and all things become new, the Bible says. That means you need to admit that you're a sinner, worthy of death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You must believe Jesus died for your sin. You must repent. That means turn away from your sin and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he says you must carry your cross daily. A man on death row can't afford to get attached to worldly things. Why? Because he's leaving them soon. And that's kind of the mindset Jesus is calling us to. Things are valuable. We can use them, but they can become an idol if we're not careful. To follow Jesus, you must take up your cross, not his cross, but your cross. And for some, it may include suffering. It did for the apostles. So what about you? What's keeping you from following Jesus? Is it job security? An ungodly relationship? An addiction? Is it sports? Maybe it's a dream of having a business for yourself. Maybe it's money or a comfortable retirement. Or maybe it's family expectations you're trying to live up to. You know, many people want to get involved in Christianity in the church. They want to be involved in a cause and something, and that's good. but they're afraid of complete commitment. And there is a difference between involvement and complete commitment, which Jesus calls us to. Back in the 60s, there were a lot of civil rights marches. Some of you may remember civil rights marches. The story goes that as marchers passed by one farm, the animals on the farm were watching and listening, the marchers. Piggy said the chicken, "I believe in what these poor people are marching for, don't you?" "Yes, I do," said the pig. "Well then, let's get involved," said the chicken. "Those marchers look hungry. Let's give them a real bacon and egg breakfast." "Chicky," said the pig seriously, "for you, that's involvement. But for me, it's a total commitment." How committed are you to following Jesus Christ? I want you to think about that. Are you following and committed enough to take up your cross daily, to fully surrender to Him and to let go of the world? Well, the first challenge Jesus makes to us is self-denial, to put yourself aside and put God first. The second challenge to us is self-sacrifice, to fully surrender all you are to God. The third challenge that Jesus makes to us and to all those who would follow Him is back in Mark 8:34. He said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Follow me." I'm going to call this a challenge to self-redirection. A challenge to self-redirection. He said, "Follow me." Jesus kept it simple. Followers follow. Followers follow. Say that with me. Followers follow. That's real simple. I like simple things because I can remember them. Followers follow. My son-in-law lives in Indiana, designed and produced an RV called the Element. That's a picture of it there. Let me ask you a question. What happens if the trailer stops following the car? I've seen those on I-81. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. And what happens when a Christian stops following Jesus? It's not pretty. That's right. It's not pretty. What does it mean to follow Jesus? The world says, do what you want. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. You know what the Bible says about your heart? It says it's deceptively wicked. Who can know it? Well, that's what the world says. Do what you want. Jesus says, follow me. That means He's our leader. It means He wants us to speak as He spoke, to live as He lived, to love as He loved, to talk to people like He did, about their soul, about eternity, about the Savior, to let Him determine our priorities in life and our career. That's what I do every day as a substitute teacher, folks. Let me tell you, it is never a dull day, substitute teaching. Some days I get to encourage Christians and feed the sheep. It's wonderful, the conversations I have with some. A lot of the students go to church. Other days, I get to go fishing for men, and I get to sow seed. Folks, I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest mission fields in America is the public schools. Public schools. And if you don't believe it, I challenge you to go substitute teach. It is an eye-opening experience, isn't it, Carol? It really is. Man, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. So followers not only follow, but followers fish. I like that. It's memorable, isn't it? Followers fish. Do you? Do you? Paul the Apostle put it this way. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And listen to Jesus. He doesn't sugarcoat His invitations. He doesn't say, follow me and life's going to be a bed of roses and you're going to have everything you want. You're going to be one of the king's kids. You're living in a mansion. Jesus didn't say that. Listen to what He said. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. That's what He said to a rich young ruler. You know what's interesting about that verse? That verse is what motivated Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in Turkey, to sell all of his possessions. He inherited a wealthy estate from his parents, and he gave it to the poor. And he's memorized today, memorialized as St. Nicholas, otherwise known as Santa Claus. The original St. Nicholas was a Christian. Isn't that interesting? And that's what motivated him to give. He said, that's to me. As a wealthy young man, he did. He sold everything he had and became a minister of the gospel. Why should you follow Jesus? You know, that's a good question. It's one that Peter asked, one of Jesus' apostles. He said, we've left everything to follow you, Lord. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Plus, God promises us his presence, his peace, and his provision for our needs. What more do you need? All this stuff that people live for and gather, we're going to leave it all behind, right? And the more stuff you get, you got to dust it and clean it and store it. Have you noticed that? People renting all these storage lockers for their stuff that they can't even keep in their house, and we're going to leave it all behind. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I'm willing to serve Jesus. Okay. He's already called us to follow him. Why aren't we all doing it? George Murray, director of the Bible Christian Union, said that for many years, he was willing to go, but planning to stay. Isn't that interesting? Willing to go serve the Lord, but planning to stay. He said, not until he became willing to stay, but planning to go, did God move him to a mission field where he could serve. I don't know if any of you ever heard of this person. Anybody here ever heard of C.T. Studd? Anybody? Probably not. C.T. Studd lived in 19th century England. He was a famous cricket player. Anybody here ever seen cricket? It's big in English countries, you know. And their passion for that, I think, even exceeds our passion for baseball and football. He was a sports superstar. I guess you could say he was a Tom Brady of his era. And then God called C.T. Studd to the mission field. I want you to listen to what he wrote about his decision. He said, I had known about Jesus dying for me, but I had never understood that if he died for me, then I didn't belong to myself. Think about that. If he died for me, then I didn't belong to myself. Redemption means buying back, so that if I belong to him, either I had to be a thief and keep what wasn't mine, or else I had to give up everything to God. And then he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for him. Look at that again. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. See, salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He took my place so that I could take his place in the kingdom of God. But because since he did that now, when he calls me to follow him, there's no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could be free of sin and have eternal life. In Mark 8:34, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Today, Jesus' challenge is to every one of us. If you want to follow him, he calls us to the path of self-denial, self-sacrifice, and self-redirection. He doesn't force us to follow him. Nobody twisted your arm to come to church today, did they? I hope not, okay? It's not about attendance records or rule keeping or how much tithe you put in the offering plate. It's not about that. It's about following Jesus. Because remember, followers do what? Followers follow. Followers follow. So why did Jesus make these challenges? Because he calls us, you and me, to a life of service. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He set us the example. Jesus didn't call people to be good Christians, to follow lists of do's and don'ts and wear our faith on our sleeves. He calls us to follow him and to serve others. What you do isn't nearly important as doing it all for the glory of Jesus Christ, for helping others find him. Our mission in following Jesus is a salvation of lost people. And I kind of like the way this sums it up. Reaching everyone, every day, everywhere. That's why God put you where you work, where you serve, in the school, you're, whatever you're doing. You're there to be a messenger of Christ, to point people to Him. How important is that mission? The Bible says, let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So let me ask you, how much do you want what Jesus wanted and what He wants for you? How much do you want it? Athletes and dieters are willing to make great sacrifices for a prize that'll perish, for a medal, for a trophy. They walk, they jog, they run, they sweat for hours, and all for more strength or just to lose a few pounds. How much are people's souls worth to you and me? Now, if you don't want to follow Jesus, it's up to you. But be sure to weigh your decisions in the balance of eternity in God's kingdom. In holding back, you will lose what's best in life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jim Elliot was a missionary martyr who died taking the gospel to the, I think they were called the Alca Indians in Ecuador. Nobody ever reached them before. He and four of his friends paid the ultimate price to take the gospel to this tribe. Today, most of the tribe are Christians and follow Christ. I've heard his grandson speak. It's amazing. But he said this, Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. Remember Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. You're not a fool if you give up what you cannot keep to gain what you can never lose, eternal life. Jesus calls us to nothing less than following Him. It doesn't, as we learned the last couple of weeks, it doesn't require a great intellect or wealth or position or power to follow Him. It just means you need to give Him first place in your life. So I challenge you today to follow Jesus. The rest of the world is going after money, power, possessions, and pleasure. But will you follow Him who alone is the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the resurrection, and the life? The choice is yours. If you want to follow Jesus and you've never asked Him to be your Savior and Lord, that's the first step. Right now, you can pray and talk to God. Let's bow our heads right now, please. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you want to follow Christ, you've never done it before, tell God something like this. Father, I turn away from myself and my sin, and I come to You in Jesus' name. Please accept me and adopt me, not for what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, dying for my sin. Heavenly Father, some here today have been struggling with Jesus' invitation for a long time. Others are wrestling with some sin, some secret thing they've been hanging on to for a long time, and they think no one knows, but You know. And they know. I pray for them today that they will surrender to Your will, to repent of their sin, and to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For those who are responding to Jesus' invitation and following Him, I pray that You will encourage them and help them to know the joy that comes in knowing their sins are forgiven and that You love them as Your child. Ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe all this is new to you, and you may have questions, and that's good. Let me know. The Bible has answers. I want to leave you with this, close with this. Listen to this. It's called What Counts. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while He counted losses. I counted my worth by things gained in store. He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought degrees. He wept as He counted the hours on my knees. I never knew until one day by the grave how vain are the things that we spend life to save. good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.